Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is the Prospering Souls broadcast, and I believe that my breakthrough is on the way. And so we're just thanking. We feel the breaking of day, and we can see our way clear, and we can see our blessing in our future. So we're so thankful today to be on the broadcast. This is the Prospering Souls broadcast, and we're grateful for the Lord for every opportunity we get to minister the Word of God, and this is part of our foundation series. But this is our relationship series, building a better relationship with God. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about watching what we say and being mindful of our words, what's coming out of our mouth, making sure that we are doing better with not murmuring and complaining and grumbling. So last week, we we talked about that. And so I'm just going to open up with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you today. Lord, I thank you for your love, and I thank you for your mercy and your grace. I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in my life, God, because you've been good to me. Lord, despite of what the enemy has tried to make me believe, I know that you've been good to me. And I thank you for it, God. I thank you, Lord, for every trial and every tribulation, because you said in this world we'll have tribulation, but you said to be of good cheer, for you have overcome the world. So, Lord, I thank you. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless. Lord, we had earthquakes going on today in Iran, and we ask you to touch those people, over 61 are dead and over 300 injured. Lord, we ask you to bless those families, God. Every week it seems like there's something else going on. Continue to bless those people in Sutherland, Texas, Lord Jesus, that lost loved ones. They've been having funeral after funeral, Lord, but we ask you to touch, oh God, the families and comfort them as only you can. God, we ask you to bless those that lost loved ones in the New York situation and those in Hurricane Harvey and those in Hurricane Irma and in Maria and all the other storms and earthquakes that was over in Mexico and the typhoon over in Vietnam. Lord, we ask you to touch, Bob, in the name of Jesus. God, bless each and every family that have lost loved ones. Bless our military families, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Those that have lost loved ones, oh God, we ask you to comfort them as only you can. Lord, we ask you to bless all our military soldiers in whatever branch they're in, God. Touch their minds and their hearts, oh God. Give them keen discernment, oh God, that they will be able to discern what the enemy is trying to bring up against them. But, Lord, we ask you to bless them, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we ask you to bless our policemen and our firemen, God, and even our first responders, our medical teams, emergency teams in the various hospitals that have had to attend to these emergencies. Oh, God, we ask you to bless them, Lord. Touch their minds and their hearts as well, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to bless those that are homeless and those that are hungry, oh, God. We ask you to bless, Lord, during this holiday season, oh, God, that people will be cared for and meals will be given out and people will be generous and be able to be a blessing to those in need, God. We ask you, Lord, to bless the hearts and minds of people everywhere. Lord, we ask you, oh, God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless those that need employment, Lord, to be able to get employment, God. Open up doors for opportunity for people, Lord. Bless those that are incarcerated, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to touch them, Lord Jesus, and save such as should be saved. Bless those in hospitals all over this land and country. Some, Lord Jesus, the doctors have given up, but, Lord, we know that you never lost a case, oh, God. Lord, we know that cancer is not too hard for you. We know that diabetes is not too hard for you. We know that all manner of disease is not too hard for you, oh, God. Lord, but you can let your healing virtue begin to flow through people, oh, God. And, Lord, they shall be healed because you said with your stripes we are healed, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to go into the children's wards and touch these children, Lord, with various situations, oh, God. Lord, heal in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Lord, we rebuke child abuse and spousal abuse, and we rebuke child molestation and human trafficking. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus. God, we ask you to put a halt to it in the name of Jesus, oh, God. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless our teachers, oh, God, all over this land and country. Bless, Lord, even as the students return back on tomorrow, that they'll come with a mind to want to learn and not a mind for folly. God, we ask you to bless our men and women of God that preach the gospel all over this world, God. Touch them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, be a hedge of protection around our churches and our pastors and our preachers, oh, God, our apostles, our prophets, our teachers, our evangelists, oh, God, and our pastors. Lord, we ask you to touch as never before. God, I thank you, Lord, hallelujah, that you're with me always. Lord, I thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for blessing my home, oh, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you that you are our shepherd and that we shall not want, that there is no lack no longer in our life. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you said we delight ourselves also in thee, that you would give us the desires of our heart. We thank you, Lord, that you said you would supply every need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to thank you for the peace of God. And, Lord, let us be thankful and let us have gratitude, oh, God. Lord, let us begin to use our mouths, oh, God, and speak the word of God. Let us cross over to the other side, oh, God, that no matter what the storms of life are bringing, oh, God, we will have the peace of God that compasses all understanding. So, Lord, we glorify you today, and we magnify your holy name, hallelujah. Lord, let us begin, Lord Jesus, to come in to command our days. Lord, that we will speak power, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We will speak joy and we'll speak peace and we will not murmur and complain or grumble. Lord, let us be mindful, Lord, to watch what we say, to change our thought pattern, oh God. Renew our mind, renew our heart, and renew our mouth, God, that we will begin to tame the tongue, oh God, that it won't speak out whatever it thinks. But, Lord, we'll speak positive, or we'll be people builders, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we glorify you today. Magnify your holy name and worship you. These are many. Bless your word today that it will fall on good ground. Bless those that need this word today will be able to hear it, Father. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, God, I glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Thank God for just this day. We thank God for just this opportunity. And we will think back on last week. We'll do a little reiteration on what happened last week and just even back, you know, at the beginning of the thing we talked about, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so we have to be careful what's in our heart because that's where things are coming from. And so we want to make sure that our heart is right and that our mind is renewed so that we will be able to speak the right things over our life. And so we talked about the complaints of Israel on last week. They had 14 complaints. And we were talking about that, and that was the reason and the cause that caused them to stay in the wilderness for 40 years is because of what they were saying. And so it's interesting to know that no matter all the miracles that Israel had seen over the years and all the things that God blessed them to witness, that they still was murmuring and complaining about things and that they were never satisfied with what God had already blessed them with and what God had provided for them. And so, because we got to think about, when we think about Israel, all the things that they had seen and all the things that God had blessed them to witness, and how could they continue to murmur and complain when God had blessed them to see so many good things. And so, I'm thinking about that. I'm trying to find my thing here. But anyway, God had just blessed them so much. But anyway, when they were at Kadesh Barnea, and this is where kind of we left off because they had been complaining and carrying on. So we left off and we was at Kadesh Barnea. And the one thing I thought about this week when I thought about that particular scripture, and you'll find that experience over in Numbers 10, 11, all the way through 14 and 45. And I thought about how what would be the response of someone today that had to go through that, because if we think about it, sometimes we've gone through things because of what people did or didn't do that has caused us. You know, it could be somebody at work that has done something, and because this incident keeps repeating, then everybody has to make the change. Like, you know, maybe you could have flexible time, but then because people would abuse it, then they take the flexible time from everybody. So then everybody gets punished just because somebody doesn't do something right. And I thought about that from Joshua and Caleb's perspective, because when they came back from spying the land, they came back with a good report. And so then everybody had to be punished for the 40 years because of the other 10 spies' bad report, because their failure to be able to understand what God was doing for them and to be able to trust God and to be able to speak the right things, they murmured and complained. And then the 10 spies came back fearful and talking fear and murmuring and complaining. Because of that, it cost all of them another 30 years, because they'd already been in the wilderness 2 years at this point. It cost them all another 38 years, which caused them to wander for 40 years. And so when I think about that, if I reflect on what happened with that generation right there in Israel, that really if they would, just with all they had witnessed and all they had saw, why would they complain? They had saw so many miracles. They had experienced so much of God's glory and so much of God's so many of God's miracles in their life. How could they still be complaining is what we think about. But if we think about our own lives and we reflect on how good God has really been to us, and then when the storms of life come, what time sometimes because the storm lasts so long, we start murmuring and complaining about things, or we get discouraged. So we have to think about it from that perspective as well. But one thing I was talking about, I just want to reflect on this for a minute. This generation here that we were talking about on last week when we were talking about the 14 complaints that Israel had done and how they complained against Moses, complained against God. They wanted water. Then they wanted something to eat. It was just something all the time that they were complaining about. But, you know, but we have to think about those 2 years that they were even in the wilderness. If we just look at those 2 years and how they looked on as Moses, as he confronted Pharaoh and witnessed the plagues that God brought upon the gods of Egypt, eventually bringing Pharaoh to his knees, and eventually they stood before the Red Sea and how the Red Sea opened up and they went across on dry ground. But then even how the Red Sea trapped the army of Pharaoh, and they all died in the Red Sea. But all the Israelites, which was about 2 million people, they all went across on dry ground and made it across before the waters began to come back together. And we think about all of those particular miracles and all of those things that they saw. How could they still murmur and complain? But the one thing about it was physically they had came out of Egypt, but mentally they were still there. Because every time, so then they began to crowd again, talking about they wanted food and they wanted to eat. And so they started reflecting back on their past and what they were enslaved to, really. Because when they were in slavery, they got leeks and onions and they got meat and they got all these various types of food. And so because God had sent a manna and they didn't really know what manna was, they begin to murmur and complain about, well, whereas, you know, so they started reflecting back on what they had when they were slaves and not what they were getting when they were free, not understanding that the diet God had put them on when they were free was that diet that was going to help them to be able to withstand what they were going through at the time, because if they had kept eating them leeks and onions and all of that kind of food right there, they weren't going to be able to make the journey that they were going to be making, because they'd been wore out. Because if we think about sometimes when we eat today, you know, we eat certain things, how we're tired and we're worn out easier than when we eat a healthier diet and we exercise and things like that. So sometimes God knows better what our need is and what will take us to the place he's trying to get us to versus us thinking back on what we used to have. The Bible says in Galatians 5:1, he says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. But they were almost willing to go back to the yoke of bondage and be slaves again versus staying in freedom and going on to what God had promised them. But their mouths is what kept them from getting the promise that God had for them. So that's why we have to be careful about what we are saying and about what we're doing. And so I was thinking about that and how their attitudes and all of these things. And I think when I closed out last week, I began to talk about those things that would help us to overcome complaining. Instead of murmuring, complaining, and grumbling, if we would be, and it wasn't interesting because Bishop kind of talked about some of these things today, if we would be thankful, if we would have an attitude of gratitude, if we would be a more praiseworthy, giving God praise in our storms instead of giving murmuring and complaining, if we would have to let the peace of God overcome us and when we're in storm, just like when Jesus was going to the other side, and I wanted to read that particular scripture about that, going to the other side. That's my scripture, main scripture for today, is going to the other side, and that is Mark 35:41. Because when we're really coming out of something, we're trying to go to another next place that God has for us. And when we get ready to do that, then what we have to do is begin to understand that it's time for us to make a switch even in our attitude and how we approach things in life. We can't continue to murmur and grumble against them, but we have to begin to talk in a different tone. And Mark 4:35-41 talks about going over to the other side. And then I also want to read again Ephesians. And let me just start with this Ephesians scripture, because it says a lot about what we shouldn't do and how we should work it out. If we think about I have other people on the line, but I had my screen in a different place. But anyway, I left off last week reading this particular scripture, Ephesians 4:29, which says, "Let no," and this is in the Amplified Classic Version, "let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it." And so that was what we kind of ended up there last week. And so I want to go to Mark 4:35. Let me get that up. I thought I had it. Let me get it in my Bible, see if I can see it real quick. But anyway, Mark 4:35. And it's talking about them going over to the other side. And the reason why I want to talk about going crossing over to the other side is because we have got to, and when I talk about that, I'm talking about even with our mouth. And that's what I'm talking about, is going to the other side and being able to, you know, not complain and not murmur about, you know, the things, the storms we might go through in life, because we're going to have storms. And this, we're going to have stormy weather. That's what we're going to have. And so if we understand that, going as we live our life, then we'll understand that I don't have to murmur and complain because I'm going through a storm. Just like Jesus was peaceful sleep on that boat, I got to get a peaceful spirit when I'm going through the storm as well, because I know who's on the boat with me. And since I know who's on the boat with me, I don't have to speak against what I'm going through, because I know that the purpose for me going through it is so that I can get to the other side. So even though we're going through some storms in life and things might be rocky, things might be going all kind of ways, we have to understand that when God is taking us through these things, he's trying to get us to a better place. And let me, my first scripture, I'm getting confused today, is John 14:30. And it says, "I will not talk with you much more, for the prince, the evil genius, let me read in the King James verse, because sometimes the other one kind of gets me a little off a little bit, so let me pull that up, 14:30. Reading this Bible, I try not to get my Bible, because I got these little bitty words in these Bibles sometimes, and I'm thinking I need to get me some large print Bibles. But anyway, let me go and see what I can do with it. 14:30, it says, "Hereafter I will not talk," this is Jesus talking, much with you, "for the prince of the world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and the Father gave me commandment, even so I do arise. Let us go hence." And so what they were talking about at that time is crossing over to the other side, moving to a higher place, and this is where I took it, moving to a higher place, so that they can begin to understand that they're getting ready to go through some difficult times, but in these difficult times, their mind and their mouth and their mood and their attitude during the storm has to be one of faith and one of trust and one of peace, so that they can make sure that they are speaking the right thing when they get ready to speak out. Because the first thing when they were on that boat, what did they run and ask Jesus? Jesus cared not that we perish, but Jesus was asleep on the boat. Now, if he's on the boat, and he's the Messiah, why would you think that you were going to perish, that this was going to be it? This was all he came to do. He came to do much more than that. And so we have to understand our place in him, so that we won't be so quick to think, "Oh, I'm going down, this is it." No, it's not it. God's just trying to take you to the next level. And stop letting your mouth keep you from doing that. Because when I thought about Joshua and Caleb, and I'm going to use them as an example for this just right here, because if you think about, they came with a good report. They said, "We are well able to take the land." And so here come all these others with this bad report. And because of their bad report, Joshua and Caleb had to suffer with the rest of the people because they had made this bad report. But it was what, and so I was just trying to think that through a little bit, because I thought about it. I said, "Lord, what would that be? I mean, how would that really be?" But evidently, they had the right attitude from that point on, because they were the ones that took them on across to the promised land. And could you imagine what our thoughts would be if we thought, "You mean to tell me I'm not going to get to go over to this promised land? I'm going to have to stay in this wilderness 38 more years just because of what y'all done said?" I would imagine myself, I'm talking about me saying that, but they evidently had a better attitude about it because they got to go, they didn't die in the wilderness, so God blessed them to be able to maintain an attitude of gratitude so that they could be able to move on even though it cost them another 38 years of their life. Anybody got anything they want to say about that? So I was just thinking about that. I said, what in the world would that be like? But just like I said earlier on, it's the same thing when you're at work or, you know, or even when, you know, if you're at work and they have certain guidelines and certain perks and things like that, but because somebody abuses them, then it all gets taken away from everybody or everybody has to have stricter policies or these things come up because of what somebody else's abuse of the system is, then it makes everybody have to suffer. They don't get to, have the leisure that they once had because of the things that people are doing. And so with that being said, you have to just say, well, you know, this is what's going on, and I have to abide by the rules and keep moving on. But you can't murmur and complain about it because then that causes you to be in a bad place within yourself. And so we have to have faith through each step of the way when we're going through the storms of life. We have to remember that the faith and the good, the thanksgiving and the gratitude and the supplication and our prayer life and all these things have to continue to line up with what God's word is saying so that we can make it through the storms of life with peace and with joy and not with a whole lot of, delay, because the murmuring and complaining causes us delay, and those are the things we have to be thinking about when we're thinking about what we're talking about. So we have to think about that, you know, even though we're going to have stormy weather, I'm telling you, I got notes written all over the place, and so I'm not going to even work with that today because that's confusing me, and I don't want to be confused. Amen. But I'm going to get to these tongues today. This is where we're going to start out with. And so because we got to begin to tame your conversation to speak God's language. How can we do that? So when I thought about the tongue, I thought about various types of tongues, and we're going to take them a little bit at a time each week. And so the first one we want to talk about is that lying tongue. And so the lying tongue, everything we do must be based on the truth. And how do people lie? People are deceitful. They are by being deceitful. People say deceitful things, you know, to gain social status, financial gain, tax returns, hiding, you know, immoral things. Or they do half truth, or they exaggerate, or they do a lot of flattery. And so Proverbs 12 and 22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. And so when you think about that lying tongue, and, you know, I know people say, well, you know, I don't lie, I don't do this. But sometimes if you embellish what's going on, that's a lie. And if you, if you say, oh, I got a brand new car, and I got a 2017, and really it's a 2015. I don't know, we don't understand what made you say it, or why you said it, or why you thought it was necessary. But those types of things are things that are not true. Because maybe the body style is the same for the 2015 as well as 2017, and people don't really know. And so you think that, you know, you just, and we, you know, people do things like that. Or if people say, you know, I'm so glad, I'm thankful, you know, I got $20,000 in my savings, and you might not have but $2,000 in your savings. You know, nobody knows that but you. So what is the purpose for not telling the truth about it? You don't have to tell it all because really it's nobody's business. So just you telling it is for whatever your own purpose and not for ours. Or if you flatter somebody and you tell them, oh, look how wonderful you look in that outfit, and then you go tell somebody else, child, they look a hot mess. Well, that's a lie. Those are lying things, and things like that are half-truths. Like if you say you're going to take off a day at work because you want to go sit at the hospital with your mom all day. She's going to be in surgery for 6 hours, and you're going to be sitting there, and you know the surgery wasn't going to take but 2 hours. So you went set for 2 hours, but then the other 4 hours you was at the mall or you was out to dinner with somebody, whatever the case may be. Those are half-truths. So we got to think about those things when we think about that lying tongue, because we got to begin to tame the tongue is what we got to begin to do, and begin to speak what God would have us to speak. And so I'm going to talk about these problem tongues, and then we'll get to things that combat them. And so then the next thing is that, of course, we've been talking about murmuring and complaining. So the complaining tongue, and Philippians 2 and 14, it says, "Do," and this is out of Classified, Amplified Classic Version, "do all things without grumbling and fault-finding and complaining against God and questioning and doubting among yourselves." And then James 9:5, the fifth chapter, the ninth verse says, this Amplified Classic as well, "Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Look, the judge is already standing at the very door." And so it's talking about Jesus. So now from that, when we're talking about that judgmental tongue, and so that's a problem. And, you know, sometimes we got judgmental tongue because we want to judge other people and don't want, and it's quick. It's funny how we do that. Like you have somebody that's now they doing it themselves, but they'll sit over here and talk about somebody else doing something, and they doing it themselves. When the Bible tells us, "Judge ye not, lest ye be judged." And so, but we do that, or they could be doing something else. Like we see somebody coming in church, and they got on a real tight outfit, and you can see everything, almost see everything. And we'll sit there and judge and say, look at that trumpet. You know, we might say that, even some people do. Or look at her, Lord, she's fast and she's this and this, she's that. And then we'll turn around and be, somebody turn around and be flirting with married men. Well, what makes what you're doing any better than what she's doing? Are you flirting with somebody else's boyfriend, single boyfriend? What makes what you're doing any better than what she's doing? We got to be mindful not to be judgmental about things. And so that's one when you talk about that judgmental tongue. And so the Bible says in Matthew 7, 1 and 2, it says, "Do not judge and criticize and condemn others, so that you may not be judged and criticized and condemn yourselves. For just as you judge and criticize and condemn others, you will be judged, criticized, and condemned. And in accordance with the measure you use to deal out to others, it will be dealt out again to you." Does anybody have anything they want to say about those types of tongues I just talked about, the lying tongue, the complaining tongue, and the judgmental tongue? If not, we're going to keep on going. So then we got this self-absorbed tongue. And, Lord, this is a big one to me today, because it's right now people are just like, "It's all about me, it's all about me, it's all about me." I hear Joyce Meyer say that all the time. I get tickled every time she says it. But Philippians 2 and 4 says, "Look not every man to his own things, but every man also on things of others." And so that's King James Version for that. We have to understand that, you know, because we are children of God, everything can't be about us. We can't be self-absorbed. Like today they said in church, we're going to be coming together to put meals together to send out for the season, over 3,000 or something meals. 300,000, excuse me, 300,000 meals. We're going to be sending them all over the world, but they need people to come and help get that stuff together. And so what better way to give your time then to do that? But you would be surprised if the people say, "I ain't got to do it because, you know, that's on a Saturday. I got my stuff to do. I can't, I'm not going to do that because I got stuff to do and I just don't have time." We'd be surprised at that. But we sometimes, and not to, you know, people got stuff to do, they got stuff to do. But what I'm saying is, when do we stop being selfish enough to try to help somebody else, to try to do something for somebody else? Just because it might not be convenient or comfortable doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it if we're helping somebody else. That's what the Bible, that's what Jesus is all about. That's what he's all about, is us doing things for other people. But sometimes we're so self-absorbed, it's amazing how sometimes you can be talking to people and you're just trying to share a testimony, and, you know, and so you're trying to share your testimony. Then the next thing you know, the whole conversation has shifted someplace about them, or they try to, you testifying about something the Lord did for you, and so they want to make sure that you understand that God did more for them. That's a self-absorbed tongue. What is the point in that? I don't understand it. God is a good God. He wants us to be blessed. So it ain't about me being blessed more than you. That's not really what it's about. And so we have to understand that those things are the things, it's them little foxes, as they say, that can spoil the bag. We got to understand all this stuff. This is important stuff. This stuff that we are spewing out of our mouth is costing us our promises, is what it's costing us. It's costing us those types of things. And if we ain't careful, it could cost us our place in heaven if we're not careful. So we have to make sure that we begin to deal with these things, because the words that we come out of our mouth are important to God. He's going to judge every idle one of them. Every idle word is going to be judged. So he wouldn't make mention of this stuff if it wasn't important. We just can't casually say, nothing. Evidently, it's important to God, so that we got to make sure that it's important to us, and that we begin to change the way we have been doing things, the way we have been speaking, and what our thought pattern is. That's why you got to renew your mind, you got to renew your heart, and then your mouth can get renewed. Because if those other things aren't renewed, you're going to keep saying the same crazy stuff. That's what's going to keep happening. And so the next tongue I want to talk about, let me see what my time is, I don't want to go over.
Elder Bryson.
Yes, go ahead.
I just want to say on the self-absorbed tongue, you have to also be careful what you say, when you're talking about yourself and not showing any compassion to others, because you may say something that could offend, that could damage or cause somebody else to fail. So while we're being selfish and we're saying things out of our mouth that are, because we want to, it's all about us and it should be about God, somebody might be coming to us and they need some help or need some encouragement, need enlightenment or whatever. And because we're so caught up with our own selves, we, instead of speaking life into someone else, we're killing them because we're talking about ourselves. We can't even see spiritually that this person has a need, because it's all about us. And we're talking about us, and we're not talking about what God is wanting us to do, because he's given an opportunity for us to be a blessing, to share his word, or to show compassion, and we have chosen to take that opportunity to be about us. So that means we are serving ourselves, and we have become our own idol. So that means we've removed God from his throne, and we have now replaced him with ourselves.
Exactly. Amen. Thank you so much, Elder Timberlake. That was needed to be said, because if we're not careful, we may do it. We may do that at any time, and then we forget that somebody else is really in need. That's what I'm saying. How can we be prayerful people in the Word of God and not be able to discern when somebody is needing to talk? And maybe this ain't your hour to talk. I talk. You know, one thing I say, and I think I wrote a poem about this, and I think I got this because I was listening to some married men talk about something, and then the Lord gave me this, or either I don't know if the Lord just gave it to me or what. But anyway, even in relationships, sometimes in marriages, the man might come and he just wants to talk. He wants to open up and he wants to talk. But sometimes the women are so busy talking about themselves that they miss the opportunity to hear from their husband, and then later on in life they wonder why the husband don't talk to him no more about nothing. Well, because when he came to you to open up your heart, you wasn't available. You was too busy talking about you. When he comes to say, this is what happened in my day, and you just cut him off and then go to tell him all what happened in your day, so then he just quiets down and he just sits there and listens. But then when you say to yourself, well, why don't you talk to me no more? Well, when I try to talk to you, you're talking about yourself. I just thought about that, so I thought I'd put that, say that. That's how we do. And even you single women, same thing. When you're trying to date, somebody's trying to date you, be courteous enough to talk, to let them talk sometimes too. And you listen, learn how to listen. So then we'll know what it is we need to say or do. It's like when people come to the altar for prayer. Sometimes we want to act like we can discern everything that they pray about instead of just asking the people what they need. And you done said a whole prayer and didn't hit nothing they needed because you're trying to go like you were so deep in the spirit. Ask them what they need. Anybody got anything they want to say about that before I go on? Just went on tangent.
When you are talking about that self-gratification, you have to realize that it's connected to envy, strife, jealousy, because all of those things are self-motivated.
Insecurity.
And insecurities and all of that is self-motivated. What you need to keep in mind is God, the Lord wants us to have joy. And
yes,
the joy of the Lord is our strength. But the only way you get to that is through godly gratification.
Yes.
And godly gratification only comes when you're doing something for someone else.
Yes. Now, that's the truth.
That's where it is. When you're doing it through yourself, that self-gratification, that, you know, it gets you nowhere. And what it is this false joy. And you got a lot of folk that are sitting in or standing in false joy and trying to make themselves believe that they're joyful when they're really not. Amen.
They're really, amen. That is so true. And when you were talking, I was thinking about, you know, if we think about, because you're saying that our gratitude comes when we are doing something for God. If we think about when Jesus came and how they thought he was coming in this glorious state, and he was going to come, he was going to be king of kings, and he was coming in this state, and they were looking for him in a different way, and he came in a lowly form. He was giving us an example right then. That this is how we're supposed to. We're here, if we're going to be children of God and people of God, then we got to understand that we're going to have to come and we have to be helpful. We have to be willing to do for others. And that's why he even made mention. He said, when I was sick, you didn't visit me. When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. He tells us this stuff. So we got to think about what they're saying, what Jesus is saying to us, and how we're supposed to act and what we're supposed to do. Because these are the things we got to do. So we can't be so self-absorbed in our own thing. And that's just the way things are. These, you know, things are, people are just all about themselves right now. It's got, you know, I got to get mine. You better get yours. You know, that kind of mentality. And that's never what it was about. In the book of Acts, when the Bible says that everybody bought everything, that was what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. The reason why they ended up dead, because they lied and said they had bought everything when they hadn't. When they really didn't have to bring nothing if they didn't want to. That was their choice. But then you don't go up and lie. But anyway, they brought all that they had and then said nobody lacked. So we got to remember we can't be so self-absorbed. And then in our speaking, we can't be so self-absorbed that can't nobody get a word in edgewise. You can start talking to somebody about something. Next thing you know, they done turned the whole conversation on about them, and you can't even get a word in edgewise. So I just shut up and watch. Just don't say nothing. Let me shut up. Just hear what they're saying, I guess. Here we go. And so just shut up and just pray about your situation on your own time is what I think. And so then the next tongue is the accusing tongue. And Proverbs 3:30 says, do not accuse a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. And then Luke 17:3-4 says, be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times, say, I repent, forgive him. And then Matthew 18:15 says, if your brother sin, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. So we got to think about that when we talk about that accusing tongue. Now, the biggest accuser is the enemy. And a lot of times when we hear, this is one thing I wanted to bring out. When we hear, when we're going through something, say maybe something the doctor said or something like that, and then you say, well, why did he let that happen to you? We got to understand that is the voice of the enemy. That is not the voice of God. It's the voice of the enemy, because the enemy is an accuser of the brother, and he's going to try to accuse God if we think about it. And so when we hear those kind of words coming, we got to understand, just like when Job was going through and his friends started accusing him of things. And so they were accusing him. So we got to work, be considerate when we think about that accusing tongue, and be mindful not to accuse people of things when that's not really what's happening. Sometimes people are going through things because they might have, you know, took the wrong path. But at the end of the day, God is still in control whether they went the wrong way or the right way. So before we start accusing, whatever way they're going, God is still going to use that for his glory. Because he said all things work together for the good of them that love God and that are called according to his purpose. And so before we begin to accuse people, well, if you wouldn't have done this, you wouldn't be in this condition. Well, that might be fact. But the truth of the matter is that all of it's going to work for God's glory. It's going to work for my good and for his glory. That's the thing we have to understand when we think about that. And so sometimes we're so quick to judge and accuse people, and then, you know, and those kind of things. So we got to be mindful of that when you think about what you're saying or when you think about what somebody's doing or somebody's doing. Yeah, they might be in bankruptcy. Maybe it is because they use their money unwisely. But maybe it's just the circumstances in life. Maybe they had a bunch of medical bills. Maybe they had a bunch of job losses. Maybe it was a whole bunch of stuff. And all of it was a mixture. So it might not be that they were just unwise with their money. It could be circumstances that came about in their lives. So we have to be thinking of that, and just that's why we have to stay prayerful to people and, like you said, try to encourage them instead of discouraging. And that brings me to my next tongue. And I got about 30-some of them, so I'm just doing so many a week, and then we're going to go on. But the discouraging tongue causes someone to lose confidence or enthusiasm. Discouragement is caused by fatigue, failure, frustration, fear, someone trying to tear you down with their words. And so we have to think about those types of things, because sometimes I'm quite sure I've been discouraging to people and things I've said, but I try to be encouraging. But, you know, maybe I discourage myself, and, you know, but we have to be one, because sometimes when you get tired, sometimes you don't know what's the right thing to say. But you got to be mindful of what you're saying. Watch what you're saying and make sure whatever you say, especially during those times, when you are discouraged and when you're tired, you got fatigue, maybe something didn't go, you failed at something, or you're frustrated about something, or you are afraid about something, those are the times to make sure that what you say about your life lines up with the word of God, no matter what the circumstance is. Speak out. I hear Elder Harrison say all the time, pray out of your position and not out of your condition. Your condition might be that you failed. Your condition might be that this is going on or that's going on or this is going on. The storm is raging greatly in your life. But speak out of your position, and your position is that you are a child of the King, that you have been made to sit in heavenly places, that you are above and not beneath. You are a lender and not a borrower. Those are your positions. And so we have to pray out of our position and not out of our condition. And so that's the thing we got to do. So when you're discouraged, speak the word of God. And that means in any situation, speak the word of God. And the one thing I want to really talk about is, and when I think about that, is don't speak on the facts. Speak on the truth. So if the facts are saying, the report of the doctor says that this is what you have, the truth of the matter is what Christ said, with his stripes I'm healed. So if we want to change things around, we got to begin to speak of faith. We got to begin to speak what the word of God says, the truth says, because the word of God is truth, and whatever else it might be a fact, but that don't mean it's the truth. Anybody have anything they want to say about that?
Yes, Elder Bryson, one thing that I keep in mind that keeps me straight is humility is everything.
Yes.
And humility keeps you in a place where you'll always put someone above you, God.
Yes.
And you'll always be put in a place where you'll say, not the cliche, what would Jesus do? But humility will put you in a place where you'll say, okay, God, I know this is going on in my life. I know this is the situation. But what would you have me do?
Yes.
And it makes all the world a difference. What those tongues that you're mentioning right now, what they do is they take your eyes off of a forgiving God when He's faithful to forgive.
Yes.
You don't realize what you're doing. You're taking your eyes off of a faithful God that's faithful to forgive you and set everything aright. Oh, my God, you're not giving Him a chance. You've actually turned your back on Him.
Yes.
And that is
yes.
a wrong thing to do. Amen.
The wrong thing to do. It's just like when they were murmuring and complaining. God said Him so. He told Moses. He said, they ain't coming against you. They're coming against me. So we got to remember that. When we do those kind of things, we're coming against God. And so are we sure that's what we want to do? But He was so merciful and gracious to them. Even though they had done a bunch of stuff wrong, and we do a bunch of stuff wrong, God is still merciful. That's what's so awesome about God. But we can't take that for granted. We have to be mindful of what we're saying, and what L. Dawson said was so true. We have to do to think about that. And so I want to talk quickly about some of the things, you know, I want to talk about those tongues, but let's talk about these tongues, a truthful tongue. Telling the truth. That's how you combat that lying tongue, by telling the truth. No matter what the truth might cost you. Tell the truth. Because if you're truthful, yes.
You tell the truth. Even if somebody has done something wrong, you tell the truth by telling them God still loves them, God still forgives. It's still a way you can tell people the truth in the midst of
yes.
if they've made a mistake or if they've sinned. Instead of being,
yes.
as you said, accusing or self-absorbed or being judgmental, there is a way to speak the truth. Because Titus 1:15 says, to the pure, all things are pure, but to them that are defiled and unbelieving, is nothing pure. Even their mind and conscience is defiled. So if you're not able to, once again, give life, speak life into a bad situation that we see in the earth, in somebody's life, whatever they're dealing with, whether it's a bad medical report, whether it's financial, whether they're about to lose their home, whether they just lost their job or just had death in the family, a loved one, whatever crisis they're facing, they have a crisis. It is for us to bring life to a dying situation, to be an undergirder, to be a supporter, to be that bridge for someone. And we're supposed to speak those words over them to give them life, because what people hear gets into their spirit and it gives a seed and it gives some growth. It helps people either grow, or if we say the wrong thing, it can do the negative. So we got to be so mindful to make sure that we're saying what the Word says. That makes the truth. If we say what the Bible says and can get out of the way and stop trying to be God and say what God says and what the Word says, then we'll see people overcoming and having testimonies, victorious testimonies, because they stood on the Word, they believed the Word. We tell them, though God slay you, keep on trusting Him. Though the vision tarry, wait on it. It will not die. When the doctor give you a bad report, you say that the Word says that I should live and not die to declare the work of the Lord. I've got missions to do. I've got a destiny to do and a purpose. So my body might be saying one thing, but the Word has said something else. So I still have life because I have not done what I know God has purposed me to do. So we've got to, as sisters and brothers in the Christ, we've got to speak that over people, and then those that are going through got to speak it out of their own mouths, or out of their own mouths where they get the power to give life and death to themselves.
Yes.
Which is also truth.
That's the truth. And that's what we have to do. We have to. We're supposed to be people builders, not people tear people down, but build people up. And the word of God, the truth of God, you can do that. The next thing we want to do is talking about that. Let me go back up here and see what this was. The next thing, we talked about the complaining tongue, and so I want to talk about the thankful tongue.
Mm.
In your situations, instead of complaining, be thankful. I was thinking about, and I use myself as an example with this, the job I'm on right now, it's probably, if I did an annual calculation, it's about $30,000 less than what I was making. And so when I try to balance my budget according to what I'm making now and my expense was based on what I was making then, no matter how many times I hit that calculator, it ain't coming out right. But I told myself, I'm thankful that I'm working and that I have an income coming in. And I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm bringing my tithe and offering into the storehouse, and then I'm paying as I go, and the Lord is making a way because nothing's been cut off. And I've been
all
on
right
the job since I'm just telling you. And so I said, you don't need me murmuring and complaining about this. I am thankful to have a job to go. Because this time last year, I was making even less than that.
All right,
ma'am. I'm talking about less than that. So for me to get up, I'm thankful. And I was thankful every time I went over to one of them schools to substitute teach. I was thankful. Because I could have been making nothing. That's what I could have been making. But yet, I'm still standing. So when we think about those types of things we might be going through, and don't get me wrong, I was kicking and screaming about all this stuff for a while. It took me a while to get to this point, believe me. Because I was kicking and screaming and fussing and murmuring and complaining. I was cheap, I'm going to tell you what it was. And so, but the Lord has blessed me to get to see some things and to understand some things and to begin to turn my thought pattern, renew my mind so that my heart can see differently. And when I find myself trying to go back there in my thoughts, I start rebuking it right then. And I just start thanking the Lord. It takes practice. So that's why I'm telling you from my own place so that we understand. It takes, you got to really be mindful of what's about to come out of your mouth and
Amen.
What the enemy is trying to place in your thoughts. I said, no, I will not murmur and complain about this. I am thankful every time I dart that door downtown when I get off that bus or even if I drive and get and go coming from that parking garage. I am thankful. I'm thankful. So we just got to understand that. It took me a while to get there. I ain't telling you, I arrived there quickly. I've been in church all my life, since I was six anyway, so the majority of it. And so I'm telling you, but it took me, I was in a place because I couldn't understand what was going on. I was in a storm and still in the storm, but I'm learning how to go to the other side with some peace in my life instead of murmuring and complaining, kicking and screaming. And they all on the phone know it because they was hearing all my foolishness. But anyway, but they kept speaking the same thing, and I thank God for each and every one of them. Just like Elder Rita said, you got to speak life to people. When I talk to her, I'm telling you, every time she was speaking faith and life and everything, she said, oh, well, we're going to believe her. That's how they do it. Elder Dawson and Sister Dawson, they pray for me, and they would keep speaking the same thing and speaking life and stuff like that. And they might have been going through situations themselves, but they didn't change their testimony. So that's why it is important to have people that speak life into you, because when you're in a place, you can't be around people that speak in doubt and fear and negativity or judging you or trying to accuse you. You can't have no Jones friends in the camp. I'm telling you. Because they will cause you to start speaking the wrong thing. And when you was already in that place anyway. But thank God for the people that were speaking positive things. And then the Lord teaching me, and I'm turning around, and I'm still turning it around to speak better. Anybody have anything they want to say about that? We're getting to a close.
In all things, that's what we have to remember. The scripture tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in all things, give thanks. For it is the will of God. In all things. All means good, bad, indifferent, hot, cold, whatever. All things. We say these words, but we got to let the words take life and have meaning and apply it. And we have to be tested so we can build. So we can build the stamina so when the enemy try to bring things back and want us to want to go back to the leaks that God has delivered us from, we are more able to withstand and be like Caleb and Joshua, back to what you said at first, to be able to endure hardness as a good soldier, because we done been through something and we've been speaking this word, because when we're going through, we say, God, I don't like this, but I'm going to give you thanks. For the word said, in all things, give thanks. Because I've lost jobs too, had to pay bills and had up, but in all things, I'm going to give you thanks. If you speak God's word, but I have found out that he is true to his word, and he'll take little and he'll multiply it just like he did with the two fish and the five loaves of bread. He'll do the same thing in our lives, in our personal lives. You can make less money and get more done, and you don't know how. When you get through, you can be confused. How did that happen? How did you make the payments and you used to make more money? Because God, he's a multiplier. He knows how to divide. He's God. And so if we go his path, he can keep us all amazed of the mighty majesty of works that he does on our behalf. And then we can share that with others and build their faith. Because in all things, we're going to continue to give thanks.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Elder Timberlake, you know, everybody says, oh, I want to be in the will of God. I want to be in the will of God. But when have you told him thank you when you were going?
All right.
When have you told him thank you when you had your when you was down to your last dime? God, I thank you that I do have a dime.
Yes.
Because I know somebody that don't.
Thank you.
And when you are in the will of God, he's going to take care of you.
Yes.
You think he's going to leave you out there by yourself when you're in his will? No. That's when his protection is greater.
Yes.
When you realize who you are. And you humble yourself to the will of God. Lord, I don't know, but you know.
Yes.
That's the way it's done, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes. Man. I can't see, but you see.
See. You see more than I do. Hallelujah. For the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good.
Yeah.
And the good. And I'm going to tell you, when I started this job, I was catching the bus, because the bus takes me right down there. So the bus was $5 a day. And I ain't had no money. Wait a minute. I thought I didn't have no money, but this is what I said. I said, well, I got to go down this. I said I didn't have no money first, but I had a rainy day jar. Full of coins. I went in there and went to digging out them coins, and I got enough money together. I took it over there to one of them coin machines and got my money and was able to get me a pay for my bus fare. I did that for about 3 weeks.
Look at God.
And my rainy day star still got change in it.
See?
Watch out now. You don't have us chatting. You don't have us shouting on here. Because we're starting to think about all them things where God's hand, where he just stepped in. Mm-hmm. Lord, have mercy.
There's always a ram in the bush.
In there?
Always. In the
and
thicket.
How many times did he do it?
Yes.
And guess what? He can do it again.
All right now.
Yeah.
Same God.
Mm-hmm. Same God. Mm-hmm. He made provision. And I didn't know all them years I was throwing in. I've been throwing money in that jar for years. I just put change in there, just throwing change. And never knew how much was in there or nothing. But thank God, when the time came, He said, you got some rainy day joy. You got to go down there, rainy day joy, and get the count of change. We think we ain't got no paper money. We ain't got nothing. But change still works. I'll tell you what it is. Thank you, Lord. Well, we got to close out, and we'll come back and talk more about these tongues next week. But we are out of time, and I'm going to ask if Elder Timberlake would do our call to Christ, and then Elder Dotson would close us out.
Lord, if anyone that's listening today that you've heard the words and you realize that you've been saying things about yourself or about others that was not seemingly not pleasing to God and does not comply with the teachings that you heard today, I hope that your hearts was touched. And if you have never had the opportunity to be invited to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, I just want to do that right now by asking you to say, to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that you're willing to accept him as your Savior and that you believe in your heart that he died for you and has risen again. If you say that and you pray that and you've asked God to forgive you your sins, the word says, declares that you're saved. I don't have to say it, and you don't have to prove it to anybody else. If you do what the word says, the word has already declared it. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that he is Lord and that he was risen from the dead, that he has risen from the dead, you accept him as your Savior, then the angels in heaven are today are rejoicing, and we welcome you to the fold. And we encourage you that know the Lord and have gone a little weak and have become a little weary because circumstances in life and some challenges have made you to get out of focus. We're hoping that the teaching today has gravitated to your heart, has imparted to you some hope, and encouraged you to get back on track, to let you know that God yet loves you, God yet sees you, he knows all about you, there are no secrets from God, and he is ready and willing and able to accept you and to help you with whatever your needs. So I'm just going to pray for those that have just come into the kingdom. We ask you to find a Bible-believing church where they're teaching the full gospel, the full word, not compromising. And those of you that have gone a little weary, we're going to pray that God give you the strength to get back on track. So, Father God, we thank you for every ear that's listening today. We thank you for the teaching today. We thank you for encouraging our hearts. We thank you for those that have accepted you as their Lord and Savior. And we thank you that the angels in heaven are rejoicing. And, God, we are thanking you today for those that were weak and weary and feeling a little out of sorts and had been out of focus and been distracted because the enemy had beat them down or had gotten them distracted. God, we thank you for a renewed mind, for a new renewed conversation. We thank you for renewing their hearts and getting them back on track. So, God, we thank you for blessing each of us online with a grateful heart. We love you today, and we are so thankful. Thankful. We take nothing for granted. For it is in you that we live and move and have our being. We trust you, God. We pray for a blessed week on this week. God, encourage all that are listening. In Jesus' name, and I thank you. Thank you today. Amen and amen.
Oh, dear Lord, I pray for these elders that are on this line, these patriots of the gospel. Father, continue to give us clear thoughts in you. Help us to understand your word. Help us to speak clearly and to teach clearly. Father, we believe we are the believers, and we believe in your word. We believe that you are a healer. We believe that you are a restorer. We believe, oh God, we're asking you right now to touch Elder Bryson's voice, touch her speech. Let her speak clearly, God. She was cracking a little bit while she was teaching. We pray that you lay hands on her right now and touch her and heal her voice.
Yes.
Strengthen her character. Strengthen all our characters, oh God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Father, renew us. Revive
yes.
us. Regenerate
yes.
us. Oh God. For we humble ourselves. ourselves before your mighty hand, that you might exalt us in due season. And we thank you and we bless you. This word is going out on the airways and it's touching hearts. It's pricking hearts, God. It's bringing people where they need to be. Lord, because your truth is the light.
Yes.
And you are shining light in dark places. Hallelujah. We pray right now, you just turn the light on. Turn it on. Mm. Hallelujah. Like David said, if you find anything that shouldn't be, take it out.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And strengthen us. We want to be saved. We want to be right.
Yes.
And we want to be whole. To teach your word and to tell your people, hallelujah, that God loves you and he's looking for you. Hallelujah. Father, keep that word in our mouth to tell the men and women that don't know where they are, let us help them to find themselves and to let them know that God is looking for you and he's waiting on you. Hallelujah. We will bless you. We will praise you continually.
Yes.
In
yes.
Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Thank you all for joining us today. And we have been blessed by the prayer and the word of God today. And we will see you back here next week on the Prospering Souls broadcast. We're going to keep talking about taming these tongues. In Jesus' name, God bless you all. Have a good week.
Amen. God bless.